Well, hello, and thanks again for joining me for another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. This ministry, these teachings are brought to you by The Wash and Word. That's our hand car washing business. We're over there on Highway 11W in Church Hill. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can come and have your car washed, and that's how we earn the money to support this business and to support this ministry. And so if you are a fan of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching, if you, like me, believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is not only beneficial to the body of Christ, but absolutely vital for us to withstand the enemy's attacks, and you enjoy seeing the fullness of God's Word going out, especially in this verse-by-verse format, which is what I adhere to, I would invite you to come by and support us by supporting the business. We never ask for handouts or donations. We, like Paul, want to make our own tent to support our own ministry. So we ask you to come by, and while you're there, you can flip on 107.1 FM. We have a small radio transmitter that sends these messages out into the parking lot area. Whether you're over there by the library or at Pals, you can hear these messages on 107.1 FM. Also, if you want to hear live verse-by-verse teachings, I preach over at the Abundant Life Fellowship, which is 415 Old Union Road here in Church Hill. And Sunday nights at 6 p.m. is when I do my verse-by-verse Bible teachings there. So come on out and say hello. Let me know you've been listening to these messages. And if you have any questions, you want to hear any older messages, simply go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can archive, listen to these archived messages or download them, of course, always for free. We just want the Word of God to go out, and we just want it to bless people. And so let's do that. Let's get into God's Word. We are currently in the book of 1 Corinthians. We just got started. We're in chapter 1. And again, if you have any, if you want to hear any of the older messages and get caught up to where we are, you go to the washandword.com, click on the media tab, and you can listen to those messages there. So in chapter 1, we've already examined Paul doing his normal Pauline greeting as he opens up the letter to the church. We've discussed already what the church in Corinth is enduring and why they're in the position that they're in, that Paul had to write them not one but two letters. And he is going to address a lot of different issues. And the great part of the issues that he addresses is they are still active today. The Church of Jesus Christ, the evangelical Christian body of believers worldwide, nationwide, countywide, whatever you want to call it, we are still struggling with a lot of the issues Paul's dealing with. And the first one he's dealing with is division in the church. And that's where we left off in our last teaching. He's saying, look, you don't go to church to hear a man. You go to church to hear from God. You go to church to hear from the Holy Spirit. And people were dividing there. And as we mentioned in our last teaching, it's okay to have a favorite preacher. It's okay to like one more than another. We're all created differently. We all have different personality traits that are attracted or unattracted to other types of personality traits. And so that being said, sure, it's okay to like somebody more than another one. And it's okay if I'm your favorite. I don't have a problem with that. But what Paul is saying is, this isn't about who you follow unless it's Jesus Christ. And that's who we're supposed to be following. And so let's pick it up where we left off. He has just gotten through in verse 12, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, saying, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another one says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. And then another says, I follow Christ. Well, we all should be following Christ and Christ alone. And then he goes on in verse 13, and he says, is Christ divided? The question is being posed, and you can almost hear in his voice the dumbfoundedness of how this is even something he has to address. Yet it is. Is Christ divided? Paul says. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Verse 14, I'm thankful that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized into my name. And then in parentheses, Paul says, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. See, Paul's just separating himself here. He says in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Stop right there and focus on that last verse. I did not come to preach the gospel with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Do you realize that sometimes pastors and preachers and expositors of God's word take the power of the cross and the power of the gospel away from God's original intention? Man, that's why the Bible says that that Bible teachers will be judged more strictly and more harshly because of how we present God's word. We have the ability to put God's word out there in a way that draws people and attracts them and prayerfully makes God's word enticing. But at the same time, we have that same equal and opposite power to damage God's word, to damage the cross, by putting too much flesh, that is, as Paul says, human wisdom, into our messages. Now, yes, we are to study, we are to use the God-given natural gifts that we have as teachers to present God's word and to present information about it, to present historical facts. All this stuff is fine and it's good. But it can never take place of the move of the Spirit as it pertains to bringing forth the Word of God. So Paul takes a huge point of division out of the equation by talking about baptism, because that has been a debate and a stumbling block since the early church up till today. So for centuries we've been dealing on this. And Paul is clear on his mission. He says, I came to preach the Word. I have few spiritual gifts and passions and abilities outside of this, is what Paul is saying. See, Paul knew where his calling came from. He knew where his power came from, and he's trying to pass that along so that this division thing can be put to bed for good. And so now you see this transitional verse there in 17 when he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize. So he goes from the central focus of Jesus to the power behind his name. And by that I'm saying that we see that the power of the cross goes beyond Paul. It goes beyond human wisdom. It goes into understanding the cross specifically by faith. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but faith will always exceed wisdom. Now, also understand that wisdom is something that these Corinthian dwellers knew a little something about. We talked about this in the early part of the introduction of 1 Corinthians, that this was the central point of philosophy. Men like Aristotle and Socrates and Plato all came out of this area in Corinth. They had multiple numbers of gods, and they worshipped the sex god Aphrodite. And the philosophy and the philosophers coming out of this area were second to none in that day and age of the world. So they understood wisdom. But Paul is saying wisdom is foolishness. He's saying, I am not bringing you a gospel of wisdom. I'm bringing you a gospel of faith. And in verse 18, he drives this point home. And I love this verse. It's one you should remember. Commit it to memory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Man, have you ever... maybe you've experienced this. Have you ever tried to witness to someone, or have you ever given the gospel to somebody and they just kind of stare at you like a deer in the headlights? And you're looking at them and you're like, how do you not get this? You're a sinner. You cannot be saved outside of the forgiveness of Christ. I'm giving you a plain gospel, a simple gospel. All it takes is you to step out on faith and accept the offer. How do you not get this? And then you want to just lean in and go, here, maybe if I explain it a little closer. And you want to lean in, and as they draw closer to you, you just want to smack them across the face and just slap the stupid off of them. Listen, this gospel is simple, but to them it is foolishness. You see, in order to fully understand the gospel, you need the Holy Spirit. And in order to gain the Holy Spirit, you need Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior. And in order to get Jesus Christ in your heart and as your Savior, you need to step out on faith. Human wisdom will never understand salvation until you receive the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, and that through faith. And you look at him and you say, look at your life. It's empty. There's, you know, you could go on and on about the things in their life that seem futile and wasting their time climbing the corporate ladders and being involved in movements and hobbies and things that have no eternal ramifications whatsoever. But you can't explain the futility of that to someone without the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I mean, can you imagine going to school for decades and having wall-to-wall degrees, MDs and BAs and masters and all this other stuff, and then finding out that the whole thing is useless, that it's worth nothing? Kind of like the future of the American dollar. You know, it's eventually not going to be worth anything. So the question is, what is the one thing that separates Christianity from every other religion? The answer to that question is the resurrection. The resurrection separates Christianity from every other faith or religion or belief system that there is. And that's why he says the message of the cross, because you can't get to the resurrection until you go through the cross. And in the teachings of Gospel of John that we did, and they're archived on our website, washandword.com, we talked about how the cross was only a short distance from the tomb. And in order to get to the tomb, in order to get to the resurrection, in order to get to the fullness and the freedom that Christ brings through the resurrection, we have to go to the cross. But again, the empty tomb is just a short distance from the cross, but we can't bypass the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, wow, it is the power of God. It is the direction arrow signaling us in the direction that we should go. God sent his one and only Son to die, and to die shamefully, I might add, that whosoever believes on him shall be saved. The message of heaven, eternal life, even the resurrection, is not just foolishness to the world, because they can almost understand that. I mean, eternal life isn't exclusive to Christianity. There are a lot of people that believe in a life after death. They believe in some kind of a heaven. They might even believe in the resurrection. Paul isn't saying that those things are foolishness. What is he saying? He says that the cross is foolishness. Well, what's the difference, handsome radio preacher? Well, I'm glad that you asked that. The cross is the method to those other things. And the idea of spilling blood and substitutionary atonement, it just doesn't make sense to the unbeliever. And while it seems like Paul is switching subjects here, going from division to the message of the cross, he is not. And we touched on it earlier that the unity in the body of Christ, that is achieved through the common goal of Jesus Christ. You see, when Christ is preached, when Christ is the central focus of every one of our meetings, every time believers get together, Christ needs to be the central focus, then guess what? That division that Paul is addressing here and that many of us are addressing in our congregations, it goes away. Because you can't have division if you're all looking upon the cross, if you're all gazing upon the Savior. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that why we get together? To fellowship and to admire the one who died for us. Well, that's just about the time we have for this study. We're going to pick it up again right back here where we left off. That's what verse-by-verse Bible teaching does. And again, I want to, if you enjoy these teachings, you can come join me at Abundant Life Fellowship at 6 p.m. on Sunday nights. We're over there at 415 Old Union Road in Churchill, over by the community swimming pool. Come by the Wash and Word. Let us work to earn the money it takes to keep this ministry alive. And we hope to see you, and let us know you've been hearing these on the radio. You have a blessed day.